Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome back, folks. We are here at the Community Sailing New Orleans location overlooking the Municipal Yacht Harbor. Just a beautiful view from here. A beautiful morning. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's stunning. And we've had an exciting time so far getting to meet some incredible folks that are difference makers in our community. They're down in the trenches working hard every day trying to make a difference in our community. This place that we call home, right? It's all about our home. And we have a special guest now, Heather West, Executive Director of Loop NOLA. Heather, welcome to the show. It's good to meet you
in
person.
Thank you so much. Yeah, nice to meet you as well.
Absolutely. So if you would tell our listening audience about the mission and vision of Loop NOLA.
Sure thing. So Loop NOLA is the Louisiana Outdoors Outreach Program. We're a local nonprofit that provides outdoor adventure education to folks across the area. Our mission is to provide positive, life-changing outdoor experiences to children and youth in greater New Orleans. So our primary focus is kids, especially kids from the public school system, to make sure they get to come outside and experience the outdoors and learn from each other and about each other, as well as more about themselves. And, of course, some STEM-based education gets tossed in there along the way. But we work with kids from all backgrounds, and realistically, we work with folks from pre-K through adulthood, so we get adult groups out as well.
Absolutely. And what type of activities do y'all mostly engage in?
Basically, if it's outdoorsy and in the New Orleans area, we try to do it. So we've got the area's only high and low ropes course. We also do canoeing and kayaking. We do hiking and nature-based stuff. We also have a survival skills program and a wetlands ecology STEM-based program.
Wow. And I understand that you guys have been able to take advantage of Community Sailing New Orleans as well.
Absolutely. This is a longstanding partnership, which Loop has really loved. We love being able to partner with Community Sailing. I think our missions are very similar. And so they let us bring some Loop students out. Even this coming weekend, our Outdoor Adventure Club high school interns are going to come take a spin in the sailboats.
Absolutely. And how do they react to that? I mean, I'm sure a lot of these kids, first time maybe even being on the water, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for a lot of them, it's their first time sailing, for sure. They've usually been on water before in the canoes and kayaks and stuff like that with us, but being on the lake in a sailboat is a whole different experience. So it's usually met both with, you know, a little trepidation at first, but then they get into it and they have a good time.
Right.
And then plus, it gets them hands-on. Community Sailing does a great job letting the kids actually practice steering the boats and moving the sails and being part of the sailing experience.
Get a little bit of STEM in there too, right?
Exactly. Yep.
Sneak it in wherever you can.
Always. Science is real.
So how many kids annually are you working with in your program?
Overall, annually, we work with about 3,500 individual kids throughout the year. Most of them come out on one-off experiences through their schools via field trips or with their sports teams or things like that. But there's a good group who comes out more than once throughout the year, again, usually with schools, to scaffold their learning throughout the year and have multiple experiences that can build on each other. And then we do have a summer camp program, and we have our Outdoor Adventure Club internship program for local public high school students.
And all of that you're able to accomplish just here locally by utilizing the resources that you have here, parks and things of that nature.
Yep, that is correct. So we're based in New Orleans City Park, one of the biggest city parks in the nation, which is fantastic. It opens a lot of opportunities for our kids just right here in the city. And for a lot of them, they don't actually explore the back half of the park very often. They only go up to the front towards the Café du Mont area and, yeah, you know, the amusement park.
Happens to be my favorite place, the donut place.
Yeah, the donut place is a huge attraction, and I understand it. But the back of the park is great, too. Couturier Forest is back there. There's a lagoon system, Scout Islands. There's different trails, and a lot of kids have never spent time in those areas, so we're their first introductory experience to playing in a different part of the park. And then beyond that, we have partnerships with NORD as well as Louisiana State Park. So we get to go paddling out at Joe Brown Park every so often. We help with NORD's family campout event in the spring. And then we'll go to different state parks like Fountain Blue State Park and go camping at Boca Chica. For a lot of kids, too, if we go up to Fountain Blue and have a beach experience, plenty of kids from here have never gone to a beach. And so just going to the beach up at Fountain Blue is their first time playing at a beach.
Absolutely. And I guess they're surprised by how close a lot of these opportunities truly are, too, right?
Yeah, a ton of them have no idea that this exists in New Orleans. And so just getting them to realize that these opportunities are here and are accessible, that's really the goal, is just expanding access to outdoor spaces and outdoor adventure sports for kids who otherwise think it's either not for them or they just have no clue that it exists.
What is the most common reaction, like when you're on the ropes? I'm sure people have seen it maybe on a YouTube video or something, but haven't really experienced it.
I would call it initially for most is a combo of fear and excitement. It is scary. Have you ever done a ropes course?
Yes, yes.
So it is tall. If you go up to the highest point on our ropes course, it's right about 25 to 30 feet. So it is high up there, and a lot of folks are nervous about it, but we operate under a concept called challenge by choice, so we make that very clear that we're not trying to force anyone to do anything they don't want to do. At any point, they can choose to come down, and we will let them down, which then gives them the courage to give it a shot because they know they can stop if they want to.
Right.
And then they get to do it and have a whole lot of fun and excitement and adrenaline.
And I'm sure once they get through it once, they're ready to do it again, right?
Typically so. And what's neat to see that happens over and over, we'll get a kid or even an adult, but usually it's the kids, who initially say, I'm not doing that. And we tell them that's totally fine. We're not going to make you do it. And then they watch their friends do it a little bit. And they're like, all right, well, can I try it? And we're like, yeah, sure, you can try it. You can come down whenever. They'll get halfway up the pole, say they want to come down. We bring them down. And then after about 10 minutes, they're like, okay, can I try it again? And you're like, yeah, you could try it again. And then they end up doing the whole thing and feel that remarkable sense of accomplishment that comes from doing something you were initially too scared to do.
Yeah. You know, it's these little steps, right? These little opportunities, so to speak. You know, not trying to minimize it, but it's just these little opportunities stacking. And I think you used the word scaffolding.
Yep.
You know, that they're more likely to take on the additional challenge once they've accomplished some.
Exactly. Yeah. Once you do the scary thing and realize that you're capable of doing it, you're more likely to try the next scary thing. And then the joy of, you know, transitioning outdoor adventure experiences to real life, once you realize you're capable of stuff that seems really hard and really scary, transitions to real life, too, when you come up with challenges in the classroom or challenges at home or with social groups that seem really scary and really intimidating, you've done something really scary and really intimidating.
So what's the next scary thing for you?
Ooh, the next scary thing for me, probably sailing. I race sailboats, so I hang out at community sailing
a
lot.
All right.
And so, yeah, it'll probably be something.
So you become a community sailing New Orleans groupie then, right?
I am, yes.
And I hear the ladies that are working here want to become ropes groupie with your organization.
Yeah, that is the goal, is get more community sailing folks out on the ropes course and get more New Orleanians overall out on the ropes course.
I love the way you articulated the no death policy to them while being on
there
the
shall
ropes.
Be no death. It is the amount of times that I ask people, like, well, what's your goal for the day? And they're like, to not die. I'm like, well, we have a no death policy, so what else would be your goal?
So what is the next challenge for you, and what is the biggest challenge right now presently?
I'd say with Loop, our biggest challenge currently is making sure that we are delivering the programs that people really want at the moment, because we have so many different options. When it comes to outdoor adventure sports and outdoor adventure education, there's a lot of options. And so we've been working with different groups to make sure we're tweaking our programs to meet what people need. For example, we've got a partnership with the STEM Library Lab locally to offer service-based learning. So kids take their curriculum in the classroom to learn about invasive species and learn about the scientific aspect of that in the classroom. They come out to Loop, they learn how to canoe, they get in boats, and we do an invasive species removal project. And they, you know, help clean up the waterways a little bit. We debrief it while they're there, and then they get to go back to school and learn more about that, more in depth. Now that they've been hands-on and they've seen it, it's no longer a concept from a book. It's something they've really done.
That opportunity for experiential learning, to me, I think, is so incredibly important. 'Cause so many kids that we're not really testing for, they learn at a much quicker pace. They embrace it a lot more when they can experience it, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Once you can experience it, now it's real. Now it's not a concept someone else is telling you about, or you're trying to envision it based on something you're reading. You've actually done it and seen it and understand how it's real.
Yeah. When you have someone like me that has little or no imagination, it's hard to transfer one concept to what reality is.
It helps a whole lot when you get to be hands-on with the thing. When someone is telling you that water hyacinths are an invasive species, that might mean nothing. Once you have plucked a canoe's worth of water hyacinth out of a lagoon and see how many are still there.
Once you've tried to paddle through it.
Once you've tried paddling through it, you learn a little bit more about how difficult they are.
Yeah, exactly.
And you learn more about why they're here and the influence that humans play in that role.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. If folks would like to get involved, I'm sure you have volunteers that help you, because it sounds like there's a lot of logistics going on with these activities. Where would they reach out?
The easiest way is probably just email info@loopnola.org. Try to keep it real straightforward.
Yep.
They can also give us a call, 504-655-2770, or check out our website, Facebook, Instagram, all the usual means.
There you go. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Heather West, Executive Director of Loop NOLA. Congratulations and good luck to you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Have a great holiday season.
You too.
We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We're broadcasting live here at the Community Sailing New Orleans Overlook, the Municipal Yacht Harbor. Come on by, visit with us. We've got food, drink, and an opportunity to see this incredible facility that has been constructed here. It is absolutely beautiful. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome back, folks. We're here at Community Sailing New Orleans overlooking the Municipal Yacht Harbor. And joining us now is Sarah Barnett, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Nonprofit Marketing Coordinator, as well as Stephen Antoine, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Commercial Lender. He's over at the Elmwood location. But more importantly, he's part of Hogs Team's Swino, for the Hogs for the Cause. Folks, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Thank you.
So, Sarah, let's start with you. You help coordinate auctions in August, which is a great idea. I've been a participant for a number of years now. We've had a really good time. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I'd love to. It's a great program that started back in 2008. So this is our 18th season that we've just finished up. And basically, we host a month-long auction. We handle all of the logistics, and we encourage the public to donate items. And then whoever donates an item to be auctioned off gets to choose which nonprofit receives the funds from that. So they can pick any 501c3. We handle all of the logistics, and we've been able to raise almost $1.7 million over the past 18 years. So we do a month-long really big push, encouraging folks to bid. We bring in a lot of really interesting items, really great experiences, gift cards. Businesses around the community love to donate and pick different nonprofits that they love to support. And it's just a really great way to add another layer of support to folks doing incredible work around our city, around our community. You know, fundraising is kind of the hardest part when it comes to nonprofits a lot of times. And so any help that we can give to make that work, we're happy to assist in some of our slower months like the summer.
And Team Gulf Coast Bank and Trust is all in.
I mean, y'all
have presentations at every branch during auctions in August. Everyone's participating. The processing center is chock full of gifts.
Yeah, those tower over us. So sometimes we're a little nervous that they might fall over because they're so heavy laden with really great items.
Absolutely. And the public has responded in a big, big way.
They have. You know, it's fun to get in there and start bidding. You know, there's a lot of excitement around some of the items, but then knowing at the end of the day, you're also supporting some really great causes. And so one of the things that we really try to do is make sure that we help people know, all right, not only have you bid, you've won this incredible item, but here's the name of the nonprofit that you supported. Here's some information about them. Why don't you follow up, get to know them a little better, and so that they can become not just bidders, but long-time supporters at the end of the day.
And Steve and Antoine in the commercial lending section of Elmwood and Hogs Team Swino, Hogs for the Cause, I guess Team Gulf Coast Bank and Trust is all in on that one as well.
Yes, sir. We're definitely all in. You know, several years back, I was introduced to Becker Hall and the guys that created Hogs for the Cause, and it seemed like the perfect partnership. They have, you know, hogs. We have the flying pig, you know, pulling together. In saying that, you know, we.
So what is the story about this flying pig?
I'm going to have to leave that to Mr. Williams. I'm not 100% sure of the true origin. But in saying that, it was a great partnership. We got involved and started becoming a sponsor that has grown over the years. And during that time, you know, we had a couple employees involved on different teams, and I got hooked up with Team Swino, more so to not just be out there in my Gulf Coast Bank shirt, but also to be helping raise funds for the organization itself. And, you know, I know last year was hands down year over year another one of the record-breaking, record-shattering years for Hogs. I think they raised a little over $5.25 million.
Oh, wow.
And it's a great event. You know, on Friday afternoon, it tends to be a little bit more of a party. But on Saturday, it's just, especially on a beautiful day, you have families out there trying lots of great food that are prepared by, you know, all the volunteers, the teams that have been out there for all week, really, building their shelters or their bases where they're going to cook at, and some sleeping out there overnight, smoking meats. And it's just an all-around great event. And the goal is just to have everything donated if you can or raised, you know. You know, when we go out there, you try and find meat vendors to donate it. You try to... you know, you get everything you can because the goal is just to simply raise as much as you can for the organization, for pediatric.
Yeah, you know, and what's been incredible is that they've been able to send out $2.9 million in direct grants to families with their kids battling pediatric cancer and $12.1 million to hospital programs and other charities. So they're actually supporting other charities out there that I guess are in this same sphere, right, that are helping kids battle cancer.
Absolutely. I know they have, you know, very similar to like Ronald McDonald House, they have the Hog House at Children's Hospital. They have a Hog House, I believe, in Baton Rouge as well. Mm-hmm. So they're definitely have grown, and they're doing a lot of great things for the children out there that are suffering with pediatric brain cancer and their families that are involved in, you know, working through that as well.
You know, it's interesting. They've kind of grown that event to, you know, separate and apart from the charitable side. It's kind of the place to be seen now, right? It's one of those events.
I talk to people all year round, and that's something they look forward to every year. And the day that it ends is the next day they start talking about, oh, I can't wait to go next year and have a good time. It's really a nice event. They got, you know, up-and-coming bands usually. They don't go out and get the big market bands. They try to find who's kind of on that breaking point to become popular.
Right.
And they come out there, and the music's great. Like I said, the family, the food, just the total atmosphere out there is great. And on the lakefront, like we are right now, you know, it's just when you have a beautiful day like this, there's no better place to be.
So Sarah Barnett with the nonprofit marketing coordinator for Gulf Coast Bank and Trust, you kind of have the fun side of the banking business, huh?
I do. You know,
you have to be the envy of everyone at Gulf Coast.
Well,
Bank.
The envy until they see the spreadsheets that they have to go through. It keeps me on my toes. And it's funny, you know, we have auctions in August, so it's in the name. It lasts throughout the month of August. But really, it occupies a lot of what I do throughout the year. And so it's a great connection point with our nonprofits in the community. And so it's really great to be able to kind of nurture and foster those relationships throughout the year before the big push.
Got to be great, though, working for an organization that has embedded in their culture giving back to the community. I mean, not everybody has that. You know, they think about it. They may do a one-off. But you guys are really involved in a lot. In this community.
And I know I can't speak for everyone at the bank, but I know that a lot of us, that's part of the reason that we picked Gulf Coast as a part of our family, because the mindset, the culture there is just so geared towards the community, and that's just so beautiful, especially in a place like New Orleans and across the Gulf Coast.
Yeah. You know, when the activities and the functions that I've been to, the rally, I got to speak last year, and I was just shocked about how much fun the banking community's having. That's not how you're kind of envisioned by folks, but you guys really enjoy everything that you get involved in, and I've seen that with all of the not-for-profits that you support, you know, in the different ways and creative ways of doing it, which is what I really enjoy.
Yeah, you know, we work for a bank president who really thinks outside of the box, and so it's great to be able to join him in that endeavor and really find creative ways to, you know, just come alongside different folks in the community, different organizations that are really doing amazing things, and really help them think outside of the box as well.
See, I'm fortunate to host the Guy Williams Show. It's not really the Newell Norman Show. See, when I miss, no one asks about where's Newell Norman. When Guy Williams misses, I get, you know, everybody's calling, is Guy okay? Where's Guy? You
know, he's a lot of people in the community have really enjoyed having him on the air, and the way that he, you know, is able to talk and have conversations, and just the average person is able to understand what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been great, and, you know, and he never promotes any of this. So it's so glad to be able to sit down with you guys, you know, and talk about all that y'all do for the not-for-profit community. You can tell by the folks that are here today at this community sailing, New Orleans, which he's been very active in for a long time as well, that they're able to share all that's here, right?
And, yeah.
I mean, what's here is huge. I mean, I drove by here the other day and didn't even realize this was the place. You know,
it is pretty amazing. I mean, the first thing I did when I got out the car, I took photos just because seeing the sailboats out here. I mean, this is a great location.
It really is. Well, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing what you guys do day in and day out for the not-for-profit community. And more importantly, for the place that we call home.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Y'all have a great weekend. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. We'll be
right back. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Right back.
All right, so I started doing this week. I started doing a little poll, a little top-of-the-mind survey, if you will, a cerebellum census, a pituitary poll, just what people are thinking. And today I thought I'd make it fun, since we're going to talk to Ian McNulty here in a second, and ask, what's your go-to po' boy? All right, so I've tabulated the results, people that have been texting in since 6 o'clock this morning, and here we go. Top five. Number five? I say number five? Well, we had worked this out in rehearsal, too. Number five, hot sausage. Number four, hamburger. Number three, shrimp. Number two, oyster. And the number one po' boy, the go-to po' boy, as voted by people this morning, roast beef. So there you go. All righty, let's go to Ian McNulty now, who covers food and dining for the Times-Picayune, NOLA.com. That was fun, wasn't it, Ian?
That was great.
Yeah.
And top of the mind to you, too, Tommy. Top of the mind to you.
Top of the mind to you. Tell me what's your go-to po' boy.
Oh, it's the fried shrimp. I think if I look at what I order the most, and if I'm going to a new place and kind of assessing it, I mean, it's fried shrimp, roast beef, 1A. Sometimes together, you know. I mean, that's what most po' boy shops are going to be graded on. Although I love hearing hot sausage in the lineup there, mm-hmm. because that is like the sleeper New Orleans po' boy, right? Like, what's a po' boy? It's a sandwich. It's made on our particular type of French bread. That's not really all that French, and it is the fillings. It's too. It's that way with roast beef, where it's dripping gravy falling apart. It's what we have locally in abundance, the shrimp, the oyster. You know, they just don't make sandwiches like that in other places. And those are the obvious ones. But that's why I think, like, the hot sausage is a sleeper. It's you know, you get into a turkey po' boy, a ham po' boy. These things are fine, but, like, mm-hmm. they're not, like, radically different from a turkey sub or, you know, a ham sub right. or an Italian meatball grinder up in the Northeast. But then you get hot sausage, and that's, like, really particular New Orleans. And then you got to ask, well, is it patty or link? You know, it gets into one of those little sub niches that I love. And while we're on the topic, if you want the hottest hot sausage po' boy, without you're not doing anything to this thing to make it hotter than what they've done to the sausage itself. You know, you're not adding a lot of jalapenos afterwards or just dousing it in Tabasco. It's got to be Radasta's. In Old Metairie, this tucked away corner grocery that long ago turned into a po' boy shop. I spent some time with the Radastas over the summer when they're making their 50th anniversary and meeting the new people who are running it with them. And they showed me the hot sausages sort of in the raw, and it is an impressive patty. Let's put it that way. I mean, it is packed with all kinds of different peppers. I think there's five different types. And it's when they make them, Tommy, no lie, they use gas masks.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Really?
So intense in the air. Yeah. When they're packing it all into these hot sausage patties. So just think about that.
Well, yeah, you know what? But you got me thinking here about, I'm going to ask people to text in this hour about the hottest hot sausage you've ever had. Where was it? And there used to be a place in Algiers, Saludo's, I guess it was a butcher shop or whatever it was. And I went to school with a young lady that who was the daughter of the owner. And they made this hot sausage that was, it was in link form. It wasn't patties. But this was incredibly hot. I don't know what Radastas is like. I'm going to have to go over there and try it. But this was hot. I mean, hard to eat hot, that hot.
I love that we're on this because, you know, I had a plan of things I was going to talk about and mm-hmm. what I was going to lead off with. And, you know, everyone has a plan until they get on the phone with Tommy Tucker. And then
you get punched in the mouth with a hot sausage, right?
Exactly, exactly. So on that topic, I know a lot of people will remember Gene's Po' Boys, which was famous for, well, it's famous for a few things. One, for being that, like, Pepto-Bismol pink colored building on the corner of Elysian Fields.
Oh, yeah.
And was that St. Claude?
Yeah.
St. Claude and Rampart.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and it was, you know, late night hours, also famous for that, and then famous for its hot sausage po'boys.
They just closed, didn't they? Just closed?
A few years back. Okay. A few years back, right. Yeah. The family kind of bowed out after decades. And nothing's really come along to replace it. You know, you can get a 24-hour po'boy at Melba's nearby, which is good. But they just had this way with hot sausage po'boys that hit just right late at night. I tracked down a very, very good facsimile. It doesn't have the late night hours, but it has a great backstory. Mm-hmm. This place, Sammy's, which is a couple miles up Elysian Fields, past 610 in Gentilly, been around forever. An old butcher shop had turned into a po' boy shop, mm-hmm. late lunch joint. They made the hot sausage patties for Jeans, and they serve it on the same bread that Jeans had, and it is.
For all intents and purposes.
Yeah, the same sandwich. It doesn't have, it doesn't have the appropriate Pepto-Bismol pink exterior, and right. It doesn't have the late night hours. But if you're seriously jonesing for a Jeans hot sausage po' boy, that's the genuine article right there at Sammy's on Elysian Fields. So
I'm looking at it right now. That would be on Elysian Fields near, what, Marigny?
Further up, like past the Lowe's, right by that. The 610, the city's recycling center. I think there's a cleaner's next door. There's a really good fried chicken at the Brothers Food Mart across mm-hmm. the street. Yes, all my landmarks are culinary, of course. And while we're on the topic of po' boys, this weekend is po' boy fest.
Yes,
Sunday.
That's what that was the genesis, the catalyst for me having that survey.
Yes, indeed. And this is a really good intro because everyone's got their favorite po' boy, right? And they probably have the way that they like it dressed. Anyone who's been eating po' boys for a while has worked this out. You could just, loiter at the counter and listen to the way people order. They order with such certainty. It's the way that people order their martinis or their coffee in the morning. Or they sound like surgeons, gloved up, hot sausage. Dressed, no pickles, just these very precise orders.
Like the hot sausage Nazi almost from Seinfeld. Huh?
Yeah, sure. But at Po' Boy Fest, you see a bit of that, but mostly what you're seeing are these one-day wonders, these sort of out-of-the-box creations that were made up just for the festival. Mm-hmm. And some of them come back year after year. Like Volio's brings its fried lobster Po' Boy, not something you find on menus very often.
Yeah.
There's actually an escargot po' boy. Yes, snails on French. That makes its annual po' boy.
I hope they have garlic
return.
Butter with that.
They do. Okay. They do. And then there's always this competition where vendors are upping the ante because they're competing for awards and they're also competing for the attention of people who are coursing through Oak Street throughout the day. And it's gotten pretty fun. It's a friendly competition, but it's intense. And there's a couple kind of perennial stalkers of these awards. And in particular, it seems like this barbecue niche is really taking off at Po' Boy Fest. I mean, is it a secret barbecue Po' Boy Fest in disguise? I mean, I think there's five or six different barbecue operations that are going to be out there, from Koshan King and Gentilly to Moe's Barbecue in Metairie, that Alabama outfit has an outpost here. Gonzo's in Luling, which is got the top of the Best of the Fest award last year for this incredible creation that was smoked pork belly turned into boudin, stuffed into a po' boy with all kinds of wild dressings. Mm. That's coming back with some other innovations. And then you've got, there's a Hogs for the Cause team out there, mm-hmm. wonderfully named the Swinell Richie Barbecue Team. Mm-hmm. They're doing like their own barbecue creations. I know I'm missing one more barbecue place from that roster, but then you've got Southern's, which started as a food truck, best known for fried chicken sandwiches and crackling, which now has a restaurant in Metairie and also one in Hammond, by the way. Mm-hmm. But they've been a Po' Boy Fest, champion in the past, and they're coming in hot with their own crazy creations. And then you got Jason Scyther of Scyther Seafood out in Harahan, who I call the original mad scientist at Po' Boy Fest, mm-hmm. who kind of changed the game. Like in the early days of Po' Boy Fest, it was sort of, hey, bring out your best traditional po' boy, and let's go head-to-head. Let's see who has the best roast beef, who has the best fried shrimp. Oh, and we'll throw in some Vietnamese banh mi because it's getting kind of different. We can there's room for that at a festival. And then things started to really change. You get crazy creative, and Jason Sather is one of the guys who led the charge on that. And you can see it on his menu all the time. I mean, what he got inspired with at Po' Boy Fest ended up on his regular menu. But it's a great day out there, and this weekend is shaping up to be really nice. Mm-hmm. Saturday, Beignet Fest at City Park. That's like a more family.
Yeah, tell me about that, because how can you have so many different beignets?
Well, do you
think
like
you fry it, you put powdered sugar on it, there's your beignet, and we're done.
Sure.
But not, right?
Yeah, no, they go savory. You know, if it starts with fried dough, someone's liable to call it a beignet in some way, shape, or form. You know, the crawfish beignet you got at Katie's restaurant is a much different creation from the crab meat beignets that they're serving at Le Petit Grocery uptown, and much different from our friends at Morning Call or Cafe Du Monde. Right? So, Po' Boy Fest, daytime thing happens in City Park. Very family friendly. It's a nice fundraiser, and I think they have something like 40 different beignets out there this year. And that's on Saturday. And then Sunday, action switches over to Oak Street, the Po' Boy Fest we were talking about, which is just this whole scene. Oak Street is its own special realm. You know, there's a certain buzz of wonderful weirdness about Oak Street, kind of at all times, which, you know, is attributable to the Maple Leaf Bar being next to Giacomo's. I mean, that's sort of the gravitational center of the universe for a certain wonderful weirdness in New Orleans.
Well, you got an iconic shoe store there as well. At least you used to. I don't know if it's still open or not. Is it Haas's Shoes?
Yeah. Where else would you get the school shoes? Of course.
Sure. And then you got the place that sells the mailboxes that have been dipped in whatever paint it is, and the tables and those kind of things. You know the place I'm talking about?
I do. Yeah. And then you've got like a high-end Japanese knife store and culinary shop. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You've got a general store.
I love Oak Street. I do. It is as eclectic can be, I think, Oak Street
is. And what I love about the Po' Boy Fest is, yes, it's all about the Po' Boys, but really it's all about that neighborhood too, that block. It's this Main Street Americana gone New Orleans wild. And it just feels great to walk around, see all the people, be the people watching. Grab a drink, have a snack, split a po' boy, you know, split a po' boy as many different ways as you can, frankly, because you want to try different things.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that real quick, about the portions, because, you know, how many po' boys can you eat, right? Do you get a whole sandwich, or what do you get?
Yeah, generally you do. And so they've tried it in the past where they had sample sizes, and it must not have worked out for the vendors very well financially, because I don't see very many of them continuing it. Some of them will do it. Some of them will have like a half portion listed. But the best way is to divide and conquer, you know, is to bring some friends and, you know, ask them to cut it, you know, into quarters or halves or whatever. And then you're having basically a finger sandwich sample of a po' boy, which is, you know, that's the way to do it. You know, go with some company, have a game plan, check out the menu, and share the wealth. And then you stood there in the middle of the swirl of Oak Street, gobbling po' boys, talking about them, comparing notes, having another drink, wandering over, seeing a band. It's the bye week, you know, so, you know, you can duck in and see some other teams playing on the TVs of the bars and restaurants. Like, all those places are, most of them are open for business too. So, you know, the bars there are like little, indoor outposts so you can get off your feet for a little bit. I love it because it's a neighborhood festival. It feels like a street fair, and it's all about the creativity and competitive juices of these po' boy professionals out there that get together for it. And it's just the New Orleans character shining through that makes it such a fun day for me.
We can't go to break. All right, well, I'm trying to stay on the clock. I'm trying to stay on schedule, but I can't, so we got computer problems, so we'll keep going. Ian, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's cool. Well, one of the things I wanted to talk about with you today was a story I had out earlier in the week. Remember earlier in the week it was really cold? It seems like a long time ago, but it was that cold snap.
It does, doesn't it? It seems as though it was like last year when it was cold, but it was only Monday.
I know. I was layered up and stamping my feet. I pulled out a wool cap for crying out loud, you know, and that was
beating
Monday.
Yourself on the arms like you're a prisoner of war in some kind of World War II movie, right?
Well, it got me in the mood for comfort food, and, you know, gumbo weather, everyone knows about that. But there's a new spot that serves what I think is kind of the ultimate cult comfort food, and it's great for takeout, great for delivery, just having it at home, and great for dining in this case. And it's rotisserie chicken, whole rotisserie chicken. You know, I call it the latchkey kid of the comfort food world.
Yeah, it's I saw the story on that, but having lived on rotisserie chickens for about the last 6 weeks, you didn't really get my attention, but it might just be me. Go ahead, tell me more about the story.
Okay, it's Here Today Rotisserie. It's just off of Magazine Street in the Lower Garden District, just past the bridge, the overpass of the bridge. This place actually used to be a tasting menu restaurant called Wild South. So it's got a kind of a cool style inside. It's not fancy Emeralds tasting menu kind of thing, but it was it was done up with a dose of style that you would not expect necessarily for a rotisserie chicken joint. But the same chef, he closed the tasting menu place and turned it into a rotisserie chicken shop. And now you order at the counter and you're getting whole chickens, or you're getting portions down to a quarter for individual serving, or the same chicken over a rice bowl. And it's fabulous. It's really good quality chicken. The same chef runs Coquette, which is further down Magazine Street, upscale, very inventive, terrific restaurant. A Michelin miss, by the way.
What I'm looking here at the Rotisserie Today, and what I'm looking at there in your story, that's not the rotisserie chicken I've been eating out of the plastic containers for like six weeks.
Yeah, okay. Well, my point is, like, even those are pretty appealing. You know, sweating away there under the heating lamps at the grocery store. For every convenience food, there's like the reason why it's popular in the first place, which was the really well-made version. You know, the reason why fast food hamburgers are popular is because we all like a really great made hamburger. Mm-hmm. That's the facsimile for it. Same fried chicken, right? And this has been the same with rotisserie chicken. So this is like the Cadillac version of rotisserie chicken. And, you know, they're selling Datsuns at the grocery stores. The way to do it is get a whole chicken, get some of the sides and the sauces, and like you're dunking different things in. And one of the sauces is sort of this garlicky mayo that feels like a Spanish aioli. Another one is like a little more Chinese takeout kind of style. There's a honey mustard if you want to go back to the 90s. And it's really good chicken cooked right. And you can, if you're dining in, get it with a glass of sparkling wine if you want. And on Fridays, which is Chick's Watch today, they do a fried chicken special that I thought was fabulous. It's the same quality chicken. They fry it, and then they use a chicken fat infused with Calabrian chilies, and they brush that on the surface afterwards. So it's your fried chicken under a glaze of chicken fat shot through with peppers, and it's fabulous.
So with all due respect to my friends at the supermarket, while they may not be that elaborate, I will say, again, in all fairness, there's nothing like being starving hungry and bringing home a rotisserie chicken and going all Henry VIII on it. Am I right?
Lifesaver. Yeah, lifesaver. I mean, you're in the kitchen, you're over the sink, no one's watching. You
exactly.
Grab that thing with two hands, right?
Forget utensils. Yeah. Utensils? What? No, I don't think so. We're not going to use any utensils. We're going to start with the digging in a piece of the breast, and then we'll grab a quarter of the leg quarter and have it that, and then the drumstick, and before you know it, you're looking at yourself in the reflection thinking, my God, in heaven, what are you doing?
We all have our private moments, don't
we? Yeah, we do.
I mean, well, that's why I call it the latchkey kid of comfort food, because it's always there for you. It's the surrogate, the stand-in for wholesome home cooking when you don't have your country spouse slowly marinating a rotisserie chicken over the hearth at home while you toil away in the blacksmith shop. You know, it's like it's the modern convenience version of that. You just pick up a whole bird and you can put it on the table, bam, dinner is solved. Or you have it in the fridge for 2 days as a single person to pick away at. While we're on the topic, the Ideal markets, the Latin American groceries that are all over the metro area, they do a fantastic char-grilled chicken. It's rotisserie chicken, basically, but without the rotisserie, they split apart, put it on the grill, put it in the same little, plastic bubble container there. And if you want to switch up your grocery store.
I may try one of those today. Now, that appeals to me.
That's a great one. Yeah, squeeze some lime over it. Pick a little pack of tortillas if you want. You've got char-grilled chicken tacos all day.
Where else you been eating?
Well, I had a fantastic meal for the ages. We're going from rotisserie chicken to a statement tasting menu at Commander's Palace. because that's the way the food world, the food life works in New Orleans, mm-hmm. Tommy. We go from high to low. We go from po' boys to very rich settings.
Chicken? Well, you skipped the rotisserie chickens in between.
Yeah, rotisserie chickens too. Commander's Palace, if the name Ella Brennan should resonate. She was the matriarch of the Commander's Palace family. And really, for those in the know, one of the most influential people in American cuisine, period. Not just New Orleans, but America. What making American cuisine what it is through multiple generations. Well, she passed away a few years ago, but this month, would have been her 100th birthday, actually on Thanksgiving, on November 27th this year. Would have been her centennial, her 100th birthday. And so to honor her, Commander's Palace came up with a tasting menu inspired by her. And once I heard about it and learned a bit about the backstory, I had to get there. I mean, it was the first reservation I booked after I came back from a trip up for the Michelin Awards. Mm-hmm. On purpose, because I wanted to get back to Commander's and I really wanted to try that menu. And it's a revelation. There's a whole story on it where I go kind of course by course on it. But the takeaway is, well, first of all, I love a good headline. This one is Mom Would Hate This, But I Love This Menu at Commander's Palace. And the Mom Would Hate This is in quotes because that is the daughter of Ella Brennan saying, yeah, my mom, she wouldn't approve. Actually, she would hate this. I know she's up there in the saloon in the sky, which is the Brennan family term for heaven, throwing some side eye down here at us because Mom would say, Ella Brennan would say, I'm gone. I'm dead. What are you making a fuss for me on my birthday? Mm-hmm. This is silly. Get on with your life. Well, what they've done at Commander's Palace, specifically Meg Bickford, the chef there, she didn't just like take a bunch of dishes that she knows Ella Brennan would have liked. She interpreted Ella Brennan's passion. Her
now, who is this that did that? Meg Bickford?
Way of thinking.
The
Meg
chef?
Bickford, yeah.
Yeah, the head
yeah,
chef.
She's
I
the
get.
Top chef at Commander's, yes. And she spun all these ideas into the menu, and that plays out in the dishes. So,
like what?
It's some dishes that are from, anyone who's been to Palace Cafe, a Brennan restaurant on Canal Street that sadly closed earlier this year. It was a big story that it closed.
Any news on that? And let me interrupt you for 1 second, because I know they had a lease problem or something, right?
Yeah, problem would be an understatement. And, you know, a 35-year-old restaurant right. closed. And, the signs are down.
Have they found a new place or looking or not?
I can tell you that the Palace Cafe, that magnificent building in Canal Street, is empty, idle. And, you know, what happens to empty buildings on Canal Street after about 5 minutes? You know,
T-shirt shop.
Signs of it down there. Yeah. Who knows? Who knows what's going to go in? But hopefully something that's meets the grandeur of that building. Mm-hmm. As for Palace Cafe, a future location, no news on that.
Okay.
But I bring it up to bring up the crab meat cheesecake. Crab meat cheesecake was one of the signature dishes at Palace Cafe. Well, it turns out it landed on that menu because back in 1990, Ella Brennan challenged her young nephew, Dickie Brennan, who was then not a restaurateur of high standing as is today, but a young chef coming up in the family. Hey, make something kind of wild and contemporary. I dare you to make a crab meat cheesecake. And he did, and it landed on the menu at Palace Cafe and had been there until the very end. And by the way, if you want the original, this is very circular conversation, Tommy, but I know people can stick with me. If you want the original Palace Cafe crab meat cheesecake, they serve it at Tableau, and they serve it at the Audubon Clubhouse, and you can get whole versions for the holidays at the commissary, the Dickie Brennan kind of market, gourmet market thing. But back to Commander's Palace. Meg Bickford was not content to just recreate the Palace Cafe crab meat cheesecake. She came up with her own. That is the 2025 version that is much more crab meat bound together with Creole cream cheese than a big cheesecake per se. There's a Meunier, brown butter sauce that's captured in a whipped Sabayon topping and a delicate pastry cup that holds it all that's made with pecans from New Roads, Louisiana. Wonderful. It's like a 2 or 3 bite delight. From there, have you ever heard of the coup de grace,
sure.
The coup de grace does something in. It's
Cadillac made
final...
it back in the 70s, a huge car.
Coup de grace,
yeah, man,
right.
Man,
yeah.
Look, I was working at Firestone in the 80s, and I had to put those tires in the back of the coup de grace, and it was a big, heavy lift, believe me. Go ahead.
The coup de grace is the end of something, right? It finishes something off. Whether that's torpedoes into a sinking ship or just a bon mot at the end of a conversation. Well, there's something called the coup de milieu, which is the shot in the middle. And in culinary terms, this is a course.
You see, now that would be more the torpedo to me, would be the shot in the middle.
Okay.
But maybe because I watched Sink the Bismarck the other day. Go ahead, Ian. I didn't mean to interrupt.
This is in the middle of the meal.
Yeah.
So it's a middle course in a tasting menu, and it's a shot of liquor. And this one is at Commander's Palace on this menu. It's a bourbon abetted with a little brandy and a little Grand Marnier, all booze, and it arrives on your Commander's Palace, you know, palm tree lined dinner plate, like it's a course. Like here's the shot.
In a shot glass.
Yes,
really?
And it's because Ella Brennan liked her bourbon. You know, she was a lady who liked her drinks, and she's there in the saloon in the sky right now, tipping one back probably.
So what do we got? Bourbon, brandy, and what?
Grand Marnier, just to ease it off.
I would think that went down pretty easy.
It did.
Yeah.
Very dangerously easy in the middle of a meal that was also a wine pairing.
Yeah.
But that's my point. Like, all of these courses have some sort of connection to Ella Brennan, her passions, her interests, even her way of thinking, of challenging people, pushing people forward. There's another dish on the menu that's based on veal d'aube glacé. D'aube glacé is, you know, like the beefy cousin to hogshead cheese, and it has a place on the Creole table today that's mostly memory. I mean, you almost never see it. Every once in a while, it comes around on a Revillon menu. I think Arno's does it frequently at Christmas time. But Dookie Chase might do it for a special party. But it's one of those sort of nostalgic Creole dishes you just don't see much anymore. But Meg Bickford modernized it as a tribute to Ella Brennan's generation, in which d'aube glacé was still a big thing. But now she lets it temper down. So what you taste is this really thick, rich veal essence with red wine and the vegetable mirepoix seasonings over what they call a 5-hour egg. So this is an egg cooked in a circulator, sous vide style, so that the yolk is custardy and you can kind of move it around with your fork. And there's roasted mushrooms in there to catch all these flavors. And it's a dish that's takes a very old Creole idea and brings it up to 2025, which is the kind of thing that Ella Brennan did throughout her whole life and would still be doing now if at age 100 she was still running the kitchen at Commander's Palace. And so she really did channel the spirit of Ella Brennan. And the wonderful thing, the way it all came full circle for me, was a few days after I had that meal at Commander's, I happened to be at Emeril Lagasse's big fundraiser event. It's called Carnival de Vin. It's a high-dollar black tie wine auction where all these supporters come in from around the country and bid big, like five-figure bids.
I know people who went to that.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. And it funds all these bids, all these auction lot packages. They fund the foundation's support of programs around the area that aimed at youth. One of them is NOCA, the Creative Arts High School down in the Bywater that has a culinary arts program. And the students from that program were key in coming up with the menu that was served to this 600-person black tie event at the Four Seasons. I mean, these are high school kids, and they're collaborating with the chefs at the Four Seasons and with Emeril's chefs, and they come up with a menu that's going to be served there. Right from portion size to what the concept of the dish to even the wine pairings, based on just the aroma, because these are high schoolers and they're not allowed to drink wine, so they have to choose or consult on the wine pairing based on how the wine smells. I'd love that detail. Well, some of these students also work at Commander's Palace as part of their training, and I happened to be there and saw Meg Bickford at this table, moved practically to tears of pride of seeing these high school age kids that she works with at her restaurant being honored on stage at this Emeril Lagasse glittering, fabulous event for their work and contribution. And she turned to me and just started gushing about their hard work and diligence and how brilliant they are, these high school kids. And then she immediately turned to the menu and started writing notes and tasting notes and words of encouragement. And I thought, if Ella Brennan was alive today, that's exactly what she would be doing too. So I mean, really, it was this full circle thing where I had tasted this menu in honor of one of the greats of American cuisine, Ella Brennan, interpreted by this rising star, Meg Bickford, at one of our most fabulous restaurants, Commander's Palace. And then just coincidentally, a couple of days later, because this is the way New Orleans works and I love it, I got to see very much how Meg, today's chef, lives the values she's exposing in this tasting menu that she's created. I mean, it just doesn't get more meta than that.
Have you ever seen the movie, I forgot the name of it, but it's a woman cooks all of Julia Child's recipes. Have you ever seen that or not? I think it's Amy.
Julie and Julia,
yeah,
I believe
that's the lady that's in it. Not Jessica Chastain.
I think it may be. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. She's playing maybe a young Julia Child. Yeah.
Either way, that seems like you got a book here waiting to be written about going back and forth with Meg Bickford and the Brennans and how they stories all come full circle.
Oh, they do. Every time I go to Commander's Palace, I think of every other time I've been there. Like, you know, if I drive, I park the car around the corner in Britannia, I walk past the cemetery, and I think, you know, someday I'm going to be in there. Not in Lafayette Cemetery, but I'll be in some tomb somewhere. But today I'm walking down this sidewalk with a beautiful woman by my side, heading in for dinner, and it's going to be fabulous, and let's live for the moment and indulge in this culture that we all share and contribute to by being part of it. And I think about all the other times I've been. That's what landmark restaurants like that do for us, you know. And then I also think about every time I got to meet with Ella Brennan, who was so influential, just not only to the chefs that she brought up, like Emeril Lagasse, like Paul Prudhomme, like Chef Jamie from Commander's Palace, Tori McPhail, now Meg Bickford. She had an influence on Meg Bickford, too. And I think about how these legacies continue through individuals and families and institutions, and it just gives this underlayer of meaning to these meals and these restaurants that are important and so very much a part of New Orleans.
Ian, a pleasure as always. I'm being told now that the technical issues somewhat have been resolved and we can go to commercial break, so we're going to do that. And with that, we will tell you thank you, sir, and have a great weekend. Enjoy all the festivals, and we'll talk to you next week.
Food filibuster, Tommy.
There you go.
Best kind of filibuster.
Like it. Thank you.
It was a belly buster filibuster. Okay,
there you go. Ian McNulty covers food and dining culture for the Times. Speaking of New Orleans, Advocate 940, 20 till 10. Traffic, maybe, and then a break. Here we go, the man, the myth, the legend, JR. I put up $5,000 of my own money, and we are riding through that this football season, and we are down a little bit, but we still got some left, and I have every faith in the world that JR is going to make it good, just like he always does. How you doing, JR?
I'm doing pretty good, Tommy. And you know what? I don't like ever losing, obviously, but it's good for people to know how we react and really what we do and how the game plan works for us when we do go down, that we're able to get it back and then we're in the plus side a lot faster than we went down.
And
so
that's why I wanted to do this.
I'm just confident, not just in the games, but also the fact that, you know, the strategy works.
And it's the long term, JR. It's the long term. I'm not worried about one weekend to the next. I know you and I know what's going to happen long term.
Exactly. And you could see it right here. I mean, we talk about, obviously, the games. We also talk about the fact that strategies have to coincide with, you know, what the expectations are. And, of course, land in, you know, really lockstep with the percentages. So, you know, one of the things that I've been doing lately has been making it where we're going up with more wins than when we go down on the downside. In other words, we're raising our bets more or less on 3 net wins versus lowering our bets on 2 net losses. And it works fantastic. If you follow it, if you stay with it, if you go long term, we're going to see not just the plus side, but that's how you can turn something small into something really, really big. So look, here's what I'm doing. First off, not the sexiest game, but the point spread, it makes it confusing for the public. Okay. Mm-hmm. LSU, of course, 5-4 at home, taking on the 2-7 Arkansas Razorbacks this week. I'm going to give you this game. It's absolutely free. Text the word win to the number 545454. You're going to get that winner absolutely free via text message. All you got to do, text the word win to the number 545454. Again, LSU Arkansas, absolutely free. And you get it through the text message when you text win to 545454.
Let's talk about false favorites, JR.
Sure.
Tell people what that is for people that don't understand.
The biggest false favorite of the year that we're using tomorrow. And when folks listen to our radio show in the morning, we're going to offer that game for free. Now, the false favorite, basically an underdog that should be a favorite, right? That's the way we look at it. We think the wrong team is the favorite. And overall, for the last 2 years, it has been not just good, but insanely, insanely high. Even this year, we've had 6 wins and I think only 2 losses on the false favorite. But 5 of the 6 wins have all won outright. That's why we call them false favorites, and you should be betting not just the game straight, but definitely putting something on the money line on these games. Now, tomorrow, it's the biggest false favorite that we've had since doing the false favorite. It's going to be plus more than 225, and our expectation is not just to cover the game, but to win the game outright, and we've been doing it, I'm telling you, Tommy, since last year. The record is over 75%, just win versus loss. Then you pile on top of it all the money we've made people on betting the money line, and it is just absurdly, absurdly high. So text the word win to the number 545454. You'll get LSU Arkansas, but also an opportunity to give us a shout and be a part and get that false favorite for Saturday college football.
I know we've got college basketball starting up, right?
Yeah, man. I you know, last year we hit 60, almost 66% in college basketball.
Yeah.
That is an insane. Anybody that understands sports betting knows that is a ridiculous claim and an extraordinarily high number. But we are that good. College basketball is, I don't want to say it's easy, but there are certain things that we're able to look at that give us a huge edge.
It built the lake house for me. It built the lake house for me. Let's put it that way.
And here's the other thing. We love college basketball. It's exciting. It's for me, I think it's one of the more exciting matches to watch, and that's why I get so excited to go out to Vegas every year for that first and second round of the NCAA tournament. It just forget about the fact of how much fun it is, but, man, we make such a score every year in that first and second round. So we are right now in the business of developing bankrolls, getting people ready so that they've got an opportunity to make that big score, utilizing only a portion of what they're up, their profit. So first thing we got to do, though, Tommy, is we got to get you back in the plus.
You're gonna. There's no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt in my mind you're gonna. There's no doubt in my mind at all.
It was really just a couple of bad games that went the wrong way.
It happens.
A couple of shots we took, and that's going to happen. But we used profit, most of it to be able to take those shots.
So it's about the long term.
Rebuilding is easy, and guys, we win so much more than we lose. Plus, the strategies work. So
they do.
Just text the word win to 545454. Let me take care of you on this LSU Arkansas game, and you definitely want to get in with what we're doing in college football tomorrow with the false favorite. Plus, we have our chip play, which is our Chris Hodge insider play. He's my co-host on the morning show that we do on the weekends. And next week, Tommy, I'll give you a little advance notice. My NFL game of the year will be not this Sunday, but a week from this Sunday.
Awesome. You got a free pick for me? You're on fire with these free picks that you give us on the air.
I hope guys out there are taking advantage of them. I don't tell you guys to take it lightly. We do love these free picks. They've come in an extraordinarily high percentage. So you want to take advantage. We've hit four in a row here on air. I think we're 7-3 overall in three picks. Last week, the under in that Giants game. This week, we're going out west. I love this 49ers-Cardinals game. The line on the total has gone up from 47.5 to 48.5. The public's betting the over. And, man, I don't see how it's coming anywhere near 48.5. So wait till game day. Again, this is another one. It's going to go higher. Public's going to be betting the over. There's going to be much, much more going on the defensive side of the ball in this matchup. They're not going to come near that 48.5. Go under in the 49ers-Cardinals game. That's your free pick.
Under 48.5 in the 49ers game. JR, take us out.
Guys, look, at the end of the day, I want to give you something you can really sink your teeth into with the strategy as well as the games that are getting the job done. And you can just sit back and enjoy yourself for once. Entertainment is made through winning. All you got to do, text the word win to the number 545454. I'm going to start you off with the big matchup between LSU and Arkansas. That winner, free of charge via text message. All you got to do, text win to the number 545454. And don't forget to listen to my podcast, guys. It's called Bet Big, Talk Loud. Again, that's Bet Big, Talk Loud. Let's be safe. Let's have fun. And let's go out there, Tommy, and make some money.
Talk to you during the weekend.
Welcome back, folks. We are broadcasting live here from the Community Sailing New Orleans facility. You really want to get on over here. We've got some food. We've got some drink. Come say hello. As you go up North Roadway Drive heading towards Southern Yacht Club, it's on the corner on the left. You can't miss it. We have banners out. We've got a lot going on here. It's a beautiful facility. We're really very fortunate to have this, and the programs that they're offering to the youth of the city of New Orleans is absolutely incredible. I mean, I'd heard about it. I understood a little bit about what this was about, but it's really so much more. Classrooms in the building, instructional materials, all about sailing, safety courses, the whole nine yards. It's just it's quite amount of infrastructure, quite frankly, for this program. And it's, as was mentioned earlier, all on the generosity of the folks of the city of New Orleans. No government money spent here. The generosity of you, the citizens of this metropolitan area, and pulling this together for our kids. And this today, this is really all about the not-for-profit community and exposing a number of not-for-profits, and there's so many of them, to you, the listening audience, to gain a better understanding about the mission and vision of each individual one. And we'll have more of that coming up after the top of the hour news break. We'll be visiting with Dean Howard with the Youth Empowerment Project, YEP, and we'll also visit with Lowry Cruz, founder and CEO of the 18th Ward. These are two really large programs, folks, that you're going to be excited to hear about what they do each and every day in our community, what they've been able to accomplish, you know, on so many different fronts. And I really want to thank Guy Williams and Gulf Coast Bank and Trust as well for hosting this today. They are firm believers in the not-for-profit community. They're firm believers in creating a landscape for success for these not-for-profits in so many different ways, even if it's just bringing them together. And you, if you see all the people that are here with us today, you'd gain a better understanding of exactly what's going on here. And it's really a pleasure to be a part of this. So when we come back after the top of the hour news break, we'll continue this and we'll visit with some additional folks and bring some additional information to you. And I also want to just give out a reminder for Dawn Busters. They are doing the world's largest fried turkey sale. They are moving those turkeys. I promised Mel Dussel I'd mention them again. You can go to dawnbusters.org and order your turkey or order your ham today. All right, folks, we will be right back. Stay with us. This is Newell on WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.